I was reading RPGs late one night, when my eyes beheld a pompous sight. The smug quote within struck me with fear, and I rushed to check the time of year.
It was White Ween.
It was the whitest ween.
The whitest ween.
That you have ever seen.
It was White Ween.
It wasn't orange or green.
It was White Ween.
It was the whitest ween. The beasts and mummies, werewolves and guests, all argued whose farts were smelling the best. The vampires smoked cloves on my porch and lawn, but not looking cool like from dusk till dawn.
It was White Ween.
It was the whitest ween.
The whitest ween.
That you have ever seen.
It was White Ween.
It wasn't orange or green.
It was White Ween.
It was the whitest ween. I couldn't help but have fun. The party had just begun. I wanted to escape, but not enough dots in run. Now from my parents' basement in the deepest burbs, I dress all in black and smoke out on the curbs. I'd fallen prey to the terrible scheme. The Rhinehagen sets each and every White Ween.
It was White Ween.
It was the whitest ween.
The whitest ween.
That you have ever seen.
Man, fuck White Ween.
It wasn't orange or green.
I hate White Ween.
It was the whitest ween.
Wow. Wow.
You know what? I'm good. I don't. John, can we just knock this off? I'm really. No, I'm just sort of. I'm not finding this exciting at all.
Wow.
Wow. Please help me, everybody. John's making me do this. I am under duress.
Shut up and wow.
If anyone finds this, please call my parents.
Wow.
Wow. Ow! No, that's it. That's it. I'm done.
It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a White
Ween. Welcome back to Afterthought, the companion podcast to System Mastery, where for about 3 years there, we discussed whatever the hell we wanted, and then we quit for about a year and a half, and then we had a horrifying setback where an entire hour and a half of Gamma Crawl X was lost. So salty were we here at System Mastery that we decided, fuck it, we aren't going to do this week, because the jokes wouldn't be fresh.
Arr.
And so here we are doing an afterthought instead. Fuck it, fuck all things. Happy White Ween. I'm your host, Jeff, joined as always by your host, John. John, say hi.
Hey, everyone, I am nowhere near as salty as Jeff is.
I'm super salty because it was going so well for once. I had all the levels, everything was perfect. I bought a secondary mic splitter so that we didn't have any issues with the one channel that's been giving us so much shit. Everything was glorious, and we got 90 perfect minutes, and then I saved it, and saving it broke it.
Yep. Everything got ruined, and it was real sad, but good news, we do have for this very special, very angry afterthought, two special guests. We've got, from Gamma Crawl X, Brad.
The one thing I'm known for. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've got the only thing that you do, Gamma Crawl X, and we can't even do that.
No, we can't. My image of you two is that we get together and flounder for 3 hours.
Yeah, this is amazing. Normally, when John and I record, John comes over to my house, we talk for a bit, he sits down, we record exactly 1 hour of content, I slap bumpers on it and throw it on the air about 15 minutes later. You might think that sounds unprofessional, but really it just means we're really fucking good at this. except for Gamma Crawl. Gamma Crawl breaks our system somehow. It's cursed.
I call bullshit on that because I've been here for 7 hours.
You know what? I just think it's you. I think that's what the problem is.
Yeah, you gotta kick me back. Why'd you bring me off the fucking street? Like, I'm not good at this. Why am I here still?
It's a Brad problem, isn't it? That's because you're the only thing that's consistent with our weird
with
audio
our
issues.
Shitty Grant and Gamma Crawl, yeah.
That's gotta be it, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And, of course, our other very special guest, who GMs for us in Gamma Crawl. It is Quinn, and he does a lot of other things, and you could plug that now.
Yeah, I do. I be a salty dog today.
What kind of method do you have to being a salty dog?
Oh, just the general one. You can't knock me off the bow of my ship. All that sort of thing. I'm actually very good at
shipping.
Ship-based wooshah, that sort of thing.
Ship-based.
Oh, that's right. You guys are talking about Salty Dog Method, the first tier sailor charm from Exalted. That charm is fucking ridiculous, right?
I
take that no matter if I play any kind of Exalt that even has slight access to that. I always immediately take that charm because it's so good, whether or not you ever plan to be on a ship.
It's classic bread and butter stuff.
Yeah, it's just
speaking of Exalted, I'm the GM of Swallows of the South, an Exalted 3rd Edition actual play.
Snap.
You can also find me reviewing episodes of Riverdale on River Do's and River Don'ts, coming out shortly. You can find me reviewing the Thrawn Corrigins trilogy on Red Eyes, White Saber. You can find me doing a Dragon Age actual play here on the One Shot Podcast Network on Tales from Thedas. And you can find me hopping into other shows, doing guest bits, all over the place. I'm a busy man.
I actually have no idea whether or not this podcast is on the One Shot Network.
No, nah, probably not.
Who knows?
I don't care. They don't link to us anyway. It don't matter.
It doesn't matter. We basically just get to put that shit on the business card.
So there we go. And normally when we do an afterthought, we like to start out with some opening thoughts. Usually it's for what we just recorded the previous week is how we used to do it. But because this is a very special episode and we don't really do afterthought normally anymore, right now we're going to give some vent to our thoughts and frustrations about this week's Gamma Crawl.
Vis-a-vis Gamma Crawl. Now here's, let's start with something positive. I think that episode was going really well.
It was. I was super happy with it. I was feeling like this might have been our best one yet.
Yeah, there were a lot of good jokes in there. There was a lot of bad jokes that were immediately treated as if they were good jokes. It was flying. It was flying along. I felt good.
Yeah, it felt real good.
We had an extended routine where we basically made fun of improv people.
Yeah, yep. I mean, for once, Brad was joining in.
I was going to say, this is the one thing I was going to be known for, is this episode 4 of Gamma Crawl, and now it's ruined.
We've been getting you warmed up. We've been priming that been for months.
Months!
And finally, the spigot starts to flow.
And it fucking got obliterated.
I think next time I'm just going to record it on my phone into a Skype session. It'll sound like shit, but it'll probably work.
Yeah, it'll be there.
Nah, the call will drop after 2 minutes and you won't realize that we'll have done an entire episode
How about this? How about next time we just do it as a fucking Twitch stream?
Yeah, we'll just do it live. Fuck it.
Fuck it. We'll do it live. You know, they do that over at One Shot. We're in One Shot. They do that over in our home One Shot, where they have like their own studio and shit, and they have a camera and all that.
Yeah, who wants to see my bedroom / recording studio?
We'll just do your bedroom.
Your second
can
bedroom.
Easily be filmed in such a way as to not look like a bedroom. It would be fine.
Oh, it's true. You just set up that camera on my bed,
mm-hmm.
like I normally do.
Yeah.
Hey. Ew.
The ladies.
Ladies.
So the episode was going really well, and then all of a sudden Audacity crashed in such a way as to confound.
Yeah, it crashed in such a way that it like deleted Jeff's user folder.
Yes, my C
computer.
Colon users was gone.
It stole and then erased his identity. He no longer has a social security number.
This is like the movie The Net with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, they simultaneously hacked all my internets. Mm-hmm. And then when it offered to recover the missing file after I rebooted my computer, it did recover exactly 1 hour and 32 minutes of silence with an apology for having 1,892 sound blocks missing.
Okay.
Yay.
That's not entirely accurate. We do have several 6-second clips.
If you guys want to listen to 6 seconds of pure gold,
yeah.
Let me tell you.
You know what? Why don't Talking we go about- ahead and cut to a 6-second clip right now?
I can't. The wrist angle, can't move them.
I tighten my...
Can't move them.
So there you go. Some real quality podcasting from an episode that was broken down into about 11 useless 6-second chunks.
Uh-huh.
That one featuring the boss of the dungeon, DJ Home Box Office.
And everyone's favorite character, Teddy Ruxpin. I know it is.
And what was going on with his hands? You'll never know. Mm-mm. You'll never know.
Yeah.
Things were tightening. Stakes were raising.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
Tensions were rising.
Raising?
So rising. Were stride bones.
Probably rising.
They were raising and rising.
Raising and rising.
Yeah.
The rafters, they were up there.
Right in his stride boner.
The tensions were Paul Reisering. Oh, don't say stride boner, though. That was a good joke, and I think we'll put it back in when we
save it, save
when
it,
we get
save
right,
it.
When we finish chasing this fucking Sisyphean boulder back down the hill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's I mean,
we are definitely chasing the dragon on this one.
It was one of my favorite bits from the episode. An episode with a lot of pretty good bits.
We gotta save some, make sure they're fresh for next time, or at least that we can pretend are fresh for next time.
We're definitely gonna put this in the top Tupperware, like, put it right in that fridge.
Like, we haven't been workshopping them for a goddamn month.
So
these fresh, never frozen bits straight to your table.
So about a month ago, we had all these guys over here to John's place so we could record this thing. And what happened that time was that the one channel on my old-ass Zenix Q1202 soundboard decided to just be weird and random. It was
it literally cannot get a decent sound quality from it. It'll either spike up or just be super quiet or not anything.
It's like the Manic Pixie Dream channel is what it is.
It's got two settings. It's got ASMR and it's got Screamo.
So yeah, you either get your choice of it being completely unhearable or staggeringly loud compared to the other channels.
Right.
Sometimes it'll just randomly open a business where it reformulates bird cages into antique bicycles or sells nothing but old cereals you can't find anywhere else. It is the Manic Pixie Dream channel, and it's garbage. So to fix that, over the past month, I mean, granted, most of the time I spent going to Chicago and making other shows and high-quality products and
kissing up on ladies and straight punching dudes in the face.
Yeah, yeah, punching girls and letting dudes know if I like them. After all that, I had a splitter I used so we could just skip the one channel, and oh my god, the mic levels were so glorious today, you guys. Like, the bubble was just, it was right on there. Oh, I'm so mad. So we had a great...
I will say it was a little bit uncomfortable watching Jeff watching the channels.
Yeah,
I could see those feelings.
Yeah, the only thing that wasn't straight about that level channel, folks, was me. I was completely gay for that channel.
Yeah.
No. So that was about a month ago when we had all these folks over here to John's house, and then we ended up just watching YouTube videos in a dark room for 6 hours because,
as you do,
because yeah. Lord knows we weren't able to get the episode recorded.
We had some ciders. I wasn't driving home.
Look, there was booze involved. We had a projector set up to shine onto my wall. Everything was amazing.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was a great time. What we didn't do by any stretch or measure was generate an episode of Gamma Crawl.
Yeah, what we didn't do was content.
Yeah. So that was a fun time for everybody. And then this week, we actually got to sit down and start recording. And instead, this time, the universe decided to fuck us after about an hour and a half instead of just doing it and then driving home. The walk of shame gets to come a little later this time.
Yeah, instead of it just being a little tease and then nothing, it was just straight pound you in the ass prison. Like, you get all of this work done and then nothing.
Now, you may find yourself asking, what are we doing recording an afterthought then? Why aren't we just doing it again? And the answer is that it wouldn't be as funny.
No, it would be too interlaced with pain, and not the kind of pain that makes for good comedy. You need a little bit of time there.
Yeah.
You need to let that process.
Because pain plus time equals comedy.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, look for that in, I don't know, a few months or...
It will be next year.
Longer.
Late next year, maybe.
Alongside the release of the now confirmed to be canceled Half-Life 3.
Yeah. I mean, we're
still
moving into the holiday season here. Who's available, let's just say, for an example, next weekend?
I think probably. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah. All right.
I'm going to be in Wisconsin.
God damn it, John.
All right, so we're going to need a replacement for Oculus Vive, but we're getting this shit done. John, I'm going into your house.
Yeah. Well, would you mind taking maybe 20 minutes after this records to just say, I'm a robot?
Yeah, I'll record some lines real quick. I'll do some quick bits. Yeah, you can record around me.
I'll just drop them in. We'll just work to drop them in.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, you know what? We won't even work to drop them in. We'll just Mad Libs them in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just at random intervals have my sayings show up. They'll probably make sense.
Yeah.
What do you think, Oculus Vive? I am a penis. Okay, great. Thanks,
food.
Buddy.
I toilet this butt. Oh, why did we actually Mad Libs this?
You know what?
I Garfield this chimney.
Oh my god. Now that just makes me want to make a Gamma Crawl character that is just Mad Libs. I'm not sure what the two things would be, but every time you ask him anything or he has to contribute, it's just Mad Libs nonsense.
Well, that's good.
The penis is moving penisly past the penis. See, I that's how I always played Mad Libs, guy. I don't know about you. It was all just penis.
All dicks all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now we know. Mm-hmm. Now we know your root.
Yeah.
Verb.
My root is my penis.
I mean, who wants to play around of Mads Libs, where every answer is Mads Mikkelsen?
See, I was thinking it would just have to be the Mads from Mystery Science Theater.
Nope. Hannibal Lecter. The one forgettable guy from Doctor Strange.
I have tried to watch that. Oh, God, he's one of the best characters in Doctor Strange. Are you kidding me? The part where he's like, it's strange. Well, that's not really for me to judge. That is the best comedy bit in a movie that didn't really need a comedy bit right there there's ever been.
That's true. He was just kind of flat as a villain.
Yes, Mr. Doctor. But no, I mean, I've tried to watch Hannibal, the show, and it is one of the worst volume control shows. Like, when we're sitting there watching it on Amazon Prime or Netflix or wherever it's stored these days, and it'll just be him going like, yes, and then, of course, I cooked him and yet ate him, and then, wham! Would be just some music cue, and you'd be like, what?
Brian Fuller. It's me, Quinn. Have you ever heard of a fancy tool called the Levelator? It'll smooth out your levels real good.
It'll be real good, so I can hear that sexy, juicy-ass Mads Mikkelsen voice. I assume Mads Mikkelsen has a juicy ass. I'm just putting that out there. I mean, if he's in Star Wars, for God's sake, everyone on Star Wars has a juicy ass. That's just known. Mm-hmm. Just known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Jabba the Hutt.
I got to get that
3PO butt. First little I know about Star Wars. I know that.
Oh, oh my. Oh.
Ooh.
Oh dear, Master Luke. He's touching my backside.
Atu. Hey.
Oh, now I'm sad about the backside touching jokes that we lost.
Oh, no!
I'm going to need an oil bath.
I'm being tempted by the backside. The backside of the Force.
Oh, my gosh. So we do have at least one other thing that we get to do today because of popular fan request. And that is that ever since that last episode of Werewolf that we did. Remember that, John?
Nope.
The White Ween episode of Werewolf we did?
I sure don't.
Okay, well, here, let me go ahead and play a clip of that for you. It's going to be about an hour and a half long. It's just going to be a brief excerpt. I'm going to cut out the intros.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Cut out the bumpers.
So in that episode, John did an amazing impression of someone who was super mad at me.
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite bit, is to wait until there's something happening and then just hate it.
So much so that everyone, including me, pretty much just believes he was super angry.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So the thing he was angry at was me insisting consistently on reading all the quotes from Werewolf because they are smug bullshit.
Yes.
And we decided as a final White Ween treat for everyone that I would just pile all my friggin' White Wolf collection out in a huge stack and we'd go through the books and find some smuggery for you to enjoy.
Yeah.
And we're just going to, in the grand tradition of podcasts like the Extra Credit and the F Plus, we're just going to go ahead and take some time to read these in whatever fancy smug-ass voice you care to do. So, first I'm going to get a little smugness music going. There it is.
Yeah, it's good.
Right about there. You hear that, guys?
Yeah.
Of course you don't, because I'm going to add it in post.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I can hear it.
I'll lie for you, though. I hear it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, guys. That's perfect. I don't know if I'm
I've learned that I just have to lie on this show.
That's exactly
yeah, you
right,
just
yeah.
Yes and all of our dumb shit.
That's
yeah.
Everything. So let's see. Let's go around the room here. I'm going to go ahead and let Quinn, you want to start us off?
Sure.
All right. So Hi. Let us know what you're reading from.
These are some selections from Vampire the Requiem, Mind's Eye Theater Edition.
Wonderful.
One of the things we did for White Wings.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. These are some selections initially from the Nosferatu section and their various thoughts on the other clans?
Yeah. Bloodlines? I don't know. Who
I think
knows?
They're clans.
Yeah.
I never got that into Vampire. Deva. Got themselves fooled into thinking they can fuck the pain away. Gangrel, this one's pretty cool. They think they understand us because they live with the animals and might some night be ugly. Just pat them on the head. Pretend you're grateful, and whatever you do, don't call them on their idiocy. You may be a creep, but your face looks better on the front of your head than hanging from some animal's claws. Then, to cap off the wonders of the Nosferatu section, thoughts on the Mekhet. Moths are drawn to flame, just like shadows. Tell me, do shadows burn too?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Do shadows burn too? Thanks. Okay, I'll take this next one here. I'm going to read us a quote from Werewolf, just because I feel like we didn't get quite enough
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, no. Okay, yeah. And I'll be going now, so...
Come on, John, let me read a quote from Werewolf. The Apocalypse.
Yeah, I don't need to be in character for this one. It's fine.
Great. All right, here we go. So this is going to be the quote from the auspice Ragabash, the new moon, Trickster.
Quote. Man, I loved Ragabash the New Moon. That was a great movie.
That's the only New Moon that's a great movie. Anyone want to talk about that Twilight New Moon movie instead of whatever the hell we're doing right now?
Anyone want to talk about Gremlins the New Batch?
Oh, Gremlins the New Batch.
Anyone want to talk about Ghoulies?
Yes, I own Ghoulies 1 and 2, thank you.
How come Ghoulies 2 isn't called Ghoulies Toolies?
Because they obviously had no one in charge. Well, that was
I always
no competent human being there.
I always prefer the subtitle, Grab 'em by the Ghoulies.
I'm the one who said, just grab 'em by Ghoulies 2.
Yes, grab them by their ghoulies, too.
Grab them by two
The new
ghoulies,
batch.
Too furious.
They come ghoulies by two.
One if by sea, two if by ghoulies.
Mad Max Ghoulie Road.
All right, here we go. Again, this is a quote from the Ragabash, or the trickster faction of werewolves. Walk with me a while, under the light of... What? There is no light? Well, of course not! We are the Shadow Dancers. Luna wreathes herself in mystery. Of course there's no light! Light would spoil the fun! Run with me a while, and you will see the method in my madness. I will take you beyond yourself, past the confines of your vision. Just don't slip in the doggy-doo!
It does not say doggy-doo.
It says doggy-doo.
Holy shit. Damn it.
Werewolf, man, is fucked up.
Fucking werewolf, buddy. Werewolf.
I hate the Ragabash.
Man, I hate everything in Werewolf, because every quote from everyone is, hey guys, I'm a big jagoff.
Hey so, everybody, slippity-dee!
Hoo-hoo-hoo, and the doggy poo too!
I mean, it's like the whole universe got infected with a Jenna Moran virus.
I respect her art, but yeah, she's a little bit smug.
She's a little on the crazy, wordy side. I mean, I like almost everything she's made. The only thing I would say I love Nobilis. I love, what's it called, Chubo?
Chubo is one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah,
it's great. You're on Kashyyyk and you're looking at all sorts of screens and you and Chubo and Itchy.
Yeah, and Lumpy.
Yeah, I love that Wookiee space porn.
It's so good.
So is Chubo just the southern character from fucking Bus Stop in the Wookiee version of Bus Stop? Is that...
Yeah, no, it's you're there and you're trying to get Chewbacca's brother, Chubo.
Oh, Chubo. If he could just get his life back together.
Yeah,
well,
once he finishes that...
Dying.
One day I'm going to finish my marvelous Wish Grant engine, just you see.
But that said, I also own the first edition Fairfolk Splat from Exalted 1E, and I have read it like four times, and it is unplayable. It's barely even readable. It crosses your eyes.
Yeah.
It's what happens when she doesn't have an editor, as far as I can tell.
That seems to me to be the fountain of games design.
Too much. All right, who wants to go next?
I'm going to go next so that I don't have to go last. I mean, I guess we're going round robin.
Yeah. People have more
going
than one
around
quote.
The table.
Fire away, buddy.
So I'm reading from Promethean. Hardest part of this is the fucking font on these glossy-ass pages.
So yeah, Promethean is printed on, like, magazine paper. And
because that's a good idea. If you want someone to read your work, don't print it on magazine paper.
Yeah.
And don't put it in hard-to-read fonts. All right, so these are some quick stereotypes, which already after Werewolf don't seem that bad. They don't seem that smug at all. There's no doo-doo in here.
There's New World of Darkness for you. They managed to tone it down a little.
Yeah, Prometheus.
Like, whoa, we got to chain this in.
Well, they wrenched the wheels of control away from Reinhagen.
Reinhagen.
Dot
Das.
Or what his name started showing up as in university shit. Hagen Mark Rein.
Jesus Christ. All right, so we have... You have a mastery of your flesh that I envy. But when you are well and truly cornered, what then? Or, hit me again, if you must. But I'll still be standing when you run out of rage. Then we'll see if tin is stronger than iron.
This is my choice quote.
Good. That's real good. Yeah.
Is tin stronger than iron?
Probably not.
I bet 10-10 is stronger than iron.
10-10 is a hell of a
lot. Is 10-10 stronger than iron?
Dear Google,
is Tintin stronger than the Iron Sheik?
Alexa? Now, wait, okay, let's solve that one. Is Tintin stronger than the Iron Sheik?
No.
Now, what if we throw in Snowy?
All the strength of Snowy.
Yeah, now, okay, let's just say, okay, Tintin, and he gets all the strength of Snowy. Also, he has a tag team partner, Captain Haddock. Can they defeat the Iron Sheik?
Oh, yes, obviously.
Well, if you keep giving him
point.
Advantages, then yeah, you're probably eventually.
Keep stacking. Also, Hollywood Hulk Hogan is there.
Yeah, but he's on Iron Sheik's side. Oh, my God! together at last. Hollywood Hulk Hogan and the Iron Sheik. Can they defeat a drunken sea captain and a young Belgian boy?
I don't think a Hollywood a hot dog is much use.
Man, it never made any sense to me what the fuck Tintin does exactly. He's supposed to be like a reporter or something, but you never see him writing anything. He's just world traveling and you know, experiencing some serious ass racism.
Yeah, like characters in high school dramas go to high school.
Oh, high school, nothing but singing in locker rooms. At least mine was.
Yeah.
All right, John, what you got for us?
I went to Vampire the Masquerade, the old classic vampire.
Yeah.
Dug deep, and here is some of the final thoughts. End of the book, so not so much quotes from characters or clans or anything, but from the writer.
Famous last words.
I sit atop Stone Mountain today and think of all the changes of the last year. I am not who I was when I wrote this book. I have been changed by it. I love to sit atop the granite mound because here I have vision. Here I can see beyond the petty grievances of ambitions of daily life. I can see more clearly. What you hold in your hands is the result of nearly a year of naked obsession. It is the product of sweat and passion, agony and exultation. I hope that you like what we have done with it. As I look out over the lakes and church steeples, I can think only of the night. I can think only of the Nightbreed. They live in my dreams.
Wait, Clive Barker's Nightbreed lives in your dreams?
Yeah, apparently Clive Barker's Nightbreed lives in this dude's dreams.
Also, naked obsession for a year. I mean, come on, man. Find some other Skinamax shit to watch.
I've been watching it over and over for a year, and it's really fucked me up.
Oh, man, look at that Jamie Presley titty. I am so glad I'm watching Naked Obsessions.
1 year of Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh, the exaltations, the agony.
1 year of the exaltations and agony of the hitchhiker. I was moseying along through this town when I spied upon two people doing it.
There I was when there are these two folks going at it all rutton style. My name's
David Duchovny, and boy, were they just fucking.
First they did it on a staircase. Then the lady took a shower so we could see her soaping up her boobies. Then they did it on a bed.
They were going at it. Penis and vagina style.
All right, how much does everybody here want a Red Shoe Diaries that's hosted by Scruffy the Janitor? Instead of whatever, you know, David Duchovny.
Yeah.
Like, how much is that the thing that everyone wants?
Just, that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah.
I bring you now a tale of tawdry, tawdry sexual debauchery that I call extra long hooters at the bus station.
Extra long. Yeah. Just the way I like them.
She was at the bus stop. She wanted to get railed. He wanted to rail her. And indeed they did.
Yep. That's kind of stuff that gets me going. Yeah.
I'm Scruffy, the janitor. Yep. That's the whole thing.
That's it.
We'll call it Red Mop Diaries.
There you go. All right. Great.
You got another one ready for me, Quinn?
Oh, boy, do I. Here's what the Ventru think about mages.
Do not try to understand their powers. You cannot. Do not use your powers upon them. Their revenge, should you fail, will be terrible. Their fears and desires, however, remain human. So you can bend them to your will.
Okay.
All right, I've got my last one to go through here, and this is because of people requesting these. Most of the rest of the tribes that I didn't get a chance to read out loud during the actual episode were just short. So, for example, to face the worm without, one must face the worm within.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's just knowledge
you've
everyone
not
needs to have.
Seen nothing like the Mighty Quinn. Isn't that how that song goes?
But the one I really wanted to read is from the Uktenna. And the Uktenna are the secret kind of dark wizard.
Yeah, they're the evil shaman.
They're evil shamans, and they're also the kind of Native Americans that took in escaped slaves and stuff like that. So basically, they're a horrible, horrible version of the New Orleans Mardi Gras Indian tribe.
Yeah.
But here we go. This is the Uktenna's official quote.
Take my love. Take my land.
I took my love, and I took it down. Stand. I climbed a mountain, and I turned around. All right, let's try this again. While you peer into the sunlight, the lost ones gather at your back. They remember the things you have done, all the secrets you would rather forget. Best not to look, my friend. What you may see may destroy your illusions. How much would you give to make them go away?
My illusions?
Yes, how much would you give to have your illusions
Wait,
go away before they get destroyed?
My illusions.
I want the illusions.
Yeah, I think you want to, I think you want your illusions.
Why would I want them gone then?
I'm
looking into the goddamn sun.
If you're
going to
gonna destroy
them
for free, then
just turn
wait.
Around.
I mean, literally, I can't tell what the thing is that he's offering to make them go away.
The lost ones? The lost ones, I guess?
I think it's the lost ones. I don't know what the lost ones are.
But they know all the things I said. All the things I said.
Running through my head. I mean, the sentence is so fragmented that it makes no sense what he's talking about. Also, I don't know what lost ones are. Is that Black Spiral Dancers?
Nah, man. That's, I'm assuming... Spirits?
No, like, it's the Lost Boys.
Yeah, it's the Lost Boys. It's a gang of boys.
How much would you give to make the Lost Boys go away?
How much would you give to have Kiefer Sutherland leave you alone?
Fuck off, Kiefer. There's a reason I haven't responded to your emails.
Kiefer Sutherland and Alex Winters keep trying to talk to me, and I'm like, dude, come on.
Come on, guys.
It is Wednesday,
Look,
my dudes.
Maybe if you get a name better than Kiefer, I'll consider it.
See, I'm picturing the Peter Pan Lost Boys, and I'd pay a lot of money to be left alone by Victorian British children that are all ragamuffin-y.
Hey, you, sir, I'm gonna poke you with a stick, I am.
Rufio! Rufio! I'd be like, nah, I'm good. I'm all set, thanks.
I took a shit in my blankets.
I smell like an unwashed child would, I bet you expect.
I bathe in rabbit's blood.
Yep, that's it. That's what the Lost Boys are all about. That's
a rabbit skull is my god now.
I don't remember much of Peter Pan, but I think there's a lot of shitting in beds and a lot of rabbit's blood.
A lot of dark rituals.
Yeah. Be bed out of shit, I did.
I mean, if you read the original Peter Pan stories, it's basically all shit.
Oh, yeah. J.M. Barrie was completely into little boys pooping. It was his whole thing.
The Brothers Grimm's Peter Pan.
And then Tiny Tim took himself a mighty shit. Also, he's in my books. I stole him. I'm J.M. Barrie.
I stole him from Charles Dickens. I've got no functioning legs, but I sure do have a little bit of shit everywhere. It's just running down my legs all the time. Somebody help me.
I've
it's
got
a very
no
bad condition.
It just shit out the back of me as a propulsion system.
And big foamy turds, everyone.
Foamy turds.
Hi, I'm Big Foamy Turd.
Okay, so there's a lot. There's a lost big boy. Foamy turds.
Yeah. Lost boy, big foamy turds shows up, and he takes care of Tiny Tim.
Yeah. He washes him down. He washes those legs with rabbit's blood.
Into the rabbit's blood pool you go, Tiny Tim.
This is my favorite part of the day.
Gross.
See, this is what you get when you read fucking quotes from Werewolf.
This is all gold. You know there's going to be fucking fan art all over the internet of Big Foamy Turds tomorrow.
I can only hope.
He's just going to be some little Victorian ragamuffin character whose name is just Big Foamy Turds.
Oh, yeah. Now, look, everyone listening right now, what you need to do is just go Google Big Foamy Turds, and I'm sure that fan art is going to pop right up.
Man, there is no grosser word you can use in association with poop than foamy. This has been a magic moment.
I would argue that frothy is a little bit worse.
Frothy. Well, frothy does imply that you've done some shit to it after it hits the water.
Foamy until stiff peaks formed.
Foamy, maybe you just let sit. Frothy, you fuck that shit up.
Your poop is underproved.
Underbaked and underproved.
It's got a soggy bottom.
Well, I think it's absolutely scrummy.
Well, yeah, I do have some scrummy poops. I mean, that's going to happen. I got to get the plunger
out. I'm adding scrummy to the role of horrible things to describe poop with.
My scrummy, frothy poop. Now, listeners, how much are you enjoying the poop talk?
On a scale of 1 to 5, how much would you like us to do anything but this?
You know, this is an afterthought, though. And you know what we always do on the afterthought?
Talk about our poops.
We answer questions.
We do answer listener questions. Would you like to answer listener questions this time around?
We have a stack of questions.
I've got them right here, so I'll go ahead and fire that up for us.
Yeah, I got these questions from the Titter.
titter.
I got him from the shitter.
You got him from the titter, the shitter?
We got him from that famous titter.
The spitter, the titter, and the shitter. Y'all know what I mean. No one rides for free.
So in this case, because we've got guests, we'll go ahead and let them participate in the full discussion, even if it's just addressed to one or two of us. I'm going to go ahead and start off with a question from at Elroy Krayek, or Krech.
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 Krech. All right.
Frem Kresh.
Elroy asks, do you agree that people who use dice rolling apps at the table instead of physical dice are the role-playing equivalent of restaurant non-tippers?
What?
Okay, so what he's saying is, do you think rolling... He's basically saying, do you think that rolling a dice on your fucking phone makes you a jerkwad?
No. There's a lot of practical accessibility issues that might mean that using something like a dice roller app is more feasible and practical and is less of an impediment to gameplay.
I'm going to stop right there. Clearly, from the wording of this question, he wants you to say, yes, these people like garbage. And they are. You need to have that tactile feel of the dice and the sound against the table.
I mean, I can understand that okay, let's modify the question. Do you think that people who could, given the circumstance, roll some real dice, like, you know, we're giving allowance for people who can't, who have mobility issues or situations where you can't roll dice or else you wake up your abusive father.
It got dark quick.
Yeah,
that got dark real quick.
Oh my God. From my
Please
life.
Use an app.
Exactly. Those sorts of people, of course, are free to use apps whenever they want. But people who are allowed to make loud, raucous noises and have the mobility capability to do so, but instead, and there's also dice right in front of them, big piles of glowing, gleaming dice. Foamy dice are right there, right where they can get
big
them.
Big old frothy piles of
scrummy, frothy dice. And
stiff
instead
peaks
of
and all.
Instead of just reaching their hand into the up into the elbow and just getting handfuls of meaty dice and rolling them, they instead are like, nope, I rolled on my phone. I got a 7. Now, which one's cooler?
I mean, I appreciate the tactile experience of rolling dice,
mm-hmm.
but I also know that that doesn't do it for everyone. So
fair enough.
Yeah, some people can't get hard unless they hit their phone.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I mean... Yeah. So for me, that just kind of falls under the different strokes.
It's different strokes. What about you, John?
Well, I think a lot of people have an issue where they feel like the program, like the dice programs, aren't fully random like a die would be.
That's fair.
Like the program itself is always going to err more towards the middle than, say, a die roll.
Yeah, and you find a bunch of people who microwave their dice for a couple of seconds to try and cook them so that they'll roll the way they want.
Oh, yeah, well, you have dice scolding and people who are like, I hit my die with a knife or
who
some shit.
Who are you playing with?
This is all internet grunge. This isn't
Jesus Christ.
Sometimes you got to whip your dice and ask them to call you Nasty Daddy.
Yeah, the one I see people recommending is that you fill a tub, not a full tub, but like a bowl with very, very salty water and then put your dice in it, and if they consistently roll towards one side, then your die is improperly weighted.
Yeah.
That's the thing that people actually care about. Dice training is the thing, and you've seen people do this, where when you're getting ready to play the role-playing game, you line up all your dice so that the good number is facing up top to teach them to go the right way.
Yep. I am not trying to teach my dice when I do that.
No, none of these are things I am interested in or participate in. I like big handfuls of random messy dice, but you know, I think everything people do, their little rituals with dice, they're all fine. I do very much enjoy the tactile sensation of dice, and speaking only for myself, like if I'm giving my own answer, I'm a horrible cheat, and so if I'm allowed to roll dice on my phone, you better believe I'm going to roll 18 through 20 on that D20 every fucking time. I need to roll things in front of other people.
Oh, yeah, because that's going to keep you honest, because if all you do is silently press a button and you rolled something shitty, you're like, press button, press button, press button,
well,
press
yeah.
button.
I'm not doing it for anyone else or for my own benefit. I'm doing it to stop myself from cheating. It is the only way for me to do so.
Yeah, I mean, if that starts to become a concern, I'd ask for verification in the same way you can look at other people's dice. But also, one of my biggest character flaws is I am trusting to a fault. So I'll be like, yeah, sounds right that you got 20 every time you rolled.
Hey, so after we finish up this recording, you want to swing by a Wells Fargo real quick?
Oh, yeah, sounds good.
Okay, good. I got this idea.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tell me all about it, please.
Oh, well, it's interesting. It's a neat way in which your money is taken away from you and goes to me. At a certain point, you get a lot of money some other way.
Oh, wow. See, I've been looking for a way to get rid of all this money I'm sitting on.
You have a lot of excess money.
Yeah, so much.
All right. So I think we're good there. Generally, the answer is a couple of us would prefer to roll dice given the opportunity, but we really don't care if people have to use apps.
Yeah.
Speaking for myself, I straight up cannot.
However, keep your dice bar snacks away from the table.
All right. So,
Bar Snacks and Apps, Brad.
You want to ask the next one?
Yeah, so next one comes from at Ayolo.
Ayolo.
Hi, Chris.
If we were to draw a System Mastery fan tart, what should it be of?
A fan art?
A fan tart.
Oh, a fan tart. If you were to draw a fan tart.
I'm thinking probably strawberry rhubarb for me if you wanted to draw a System Mastery fan tart.
Well, I am thinking of a, let's see, like a croquembouche, but it's all made of little tiny fans.
Oh my God, you're so bourgeois.
But it's made of tiny fans.
Yeah,
bourgeois fans.
I like citrus. If you can make something that like, got a little bit of tang in it. A
little, lemon,
so please
some orange.
No, I'm asking for a tang tart.
Oh, a tang tart.
Yeah. Well, you know what I had when I was in Chicago was a fucking pear tart, and that shit was legitimate.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why people don't cook with pear more, because it was the tits.
I don't know. I don't know why people don't cook with tang more. Is that good orange powder?
Yeah, get that orange powder up in your shit. Now, maybe just a pixie stick tart would be a good idea.
Oh, yeah. I mean, John has more pixie sticks than he knows what to do with
I know exactly what to do with them.
Give them away. He's handing them out left and right.
Yeah, he's been butt-chugging those. I don't know if you guys noticed his nice sugary butt. But...
My dry, crusty sugar butt.
Basically the opposite of Tiny Tim down
nickname
there.
Nickname in high school.
Yeah. Everyone was like, here comes old dry, crusty sugar butt. That was my my favorite way to be called my pet name from anyone I would date. They'd be like, hey there, sugar butt.
I mean, that is my least favorite cat call.
Hey, why don't you smile more? Why don't you show us your dry, crusty sugar butt? All right, so let's do the real question, though. Fan art that we'd like to see.
Yeah. Fan art for System Mastery.
I know exactly what I want. I want a really nice, shaded piece of Sagittarion the Overmind and the Rat Breach.
Yeah. You know what I would love is a really good picture of like Helga and Chester, one that isn't garbage and doesn't suck a whole lot.
I mean, we appropriately credited Quinn for we recently commissioned Quinn here to do some art for us. He drew a wonderful picture of Chester Balloonman, the version from Blimpleggers, and Helga the Punch Witch.
Yep,
which I was not expecting the Wicked Witch of the West influences to pop in there, and that was delightful.
It's so, a delight for all the senses.
It was great. They were great. It was great art. So we do have some art out there, but I don't know if it counts as fan art because we paid for it.
Yeah, no, that's commission.
That's just commissioned art. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's you pretending you have fans.
Yeah. If I was going to say what I actually really want fan art of, it would be us, like the two of us.
Fucking.
But people don't know what
just
we look like.
Hairy, naked wrestling.
All right. Now that you've got that going, how much sweat you've got in there, add more.
Yeah.
Once you think it's too much, it's not enough.
Now, once you get to that butt, you need to make it dry and crusty and sugary. Yeah.
I would honestly love to see what people think you look like based on your voices, because I guarantee it's very generous. You both have you have wonderful voices. And then you get together, and I'm like, I'm just sitting in a house of garbage.
When they saw recording.
Just because you're the only 10 in the room doesn't mean that you can...
With the worst voice for this shit.
No, there was a point where we were on the that dungeon dome for one shot, and someone had actually said that they always thought that Jeff was going to be more athletic and muscly because they just assumed that's what you looked like.
That's... touching.
It's because you guys got
you do
voices.
Talk a lot about your youthful athletic pursuits.
Yeah. I mean, given most
but
people
they're
assume,
youthful. I'm 30 fucking seven.
Oh yeah, I got to assume most people think I look like fucking Jabba the Hutt coming out of a Mama Celeste cave because of this asshole.
Let's be clear. Your house is pretty cavey.
Well, also, it's
green
not his house.
And dank.
Your house seems like it is a lot like one of those secret places you can find in Portal games.
Yeah, it's crumbling around us as we do this.
Just shit written on the walls and random bottles strewn across the ground.
Empty rooms with stains
lights
all over the carpet.
What you're saying is this is a safe house in a Left 4 Dead video game?
Well,
that's exactly
that
what this
live
is.
In a Silent Hill level.
Look, you look like somewhere the Batman solves crimes.
Look, just because there are constantly sirens going off and my floor is just grates doesn't mean...
Okay, look, I did used to live in a house where all of the floor was just concrete.
Nice.
One time I needed to use your bathroom and fucking Pyramid Head was taking a shower in there.
Hey man, you should have knocked.
Don't mind me, just getting clean.
So, So, yeah, I guess fan art of us, except we aren't... I think we've repeatedly pointed out that we're a couple of big fat dudes, haven't we?
Yeah, we're big fat beardos, and everyone should know it.
Everyone seems to think I'm going to be some muscle dude because I sound rad. Keep in mind, the only celebrities I sound like are Peter Ustinov and Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Now you say that, here's Seth Rogen in there, and I don't like it.
Yeah, no, I know. I have to listen to myself talk all the fucking time. That's what his job is.
Fucking laugh. Like, that's really dodged the bolt there.
I got some cheap Canadian weed jokes ready for you.
I will.
That low-effort impression is spot on.
Seth Rogen doing a low-effort impression of himself.
My problem with doing
the last 10 years.
The thing is, I already sound like Seth Rogen, but when people tell me to do an impression, I add a bunch of growl. Like, it matters because he doesn't do that. So every time I'm like, they're like, "Do a Seth Rogen impression. You look like him." And I'm Seth Rogen. You're like, that sounds like if Seth Rogen was a werewolf. Why are you doing that?
Turn into the bear version of Seth Rogen.
Keep doing your voice. That's the impression. No, yeah. I can't.
His laugh is growly, though. That's the, if I were to start, yeah. Hey there, guys. I'm Seth Rogen. I'm Seth Rogen. I'm going to make the most disappointing CGI movie of the 2010s. There. That's a pretty solid impression, I think.
There you go.
But for me, for fan art, I am going to give just a quick shout out, please, to Clawbones. If someone could give me...
Oh my god, anyone could.
That's the bird with lips.
Yeah, that's the bird with lips. I did find a pretty good album cover up in Orange. That was basically Clawbones, but I would like to see for someone to produce that with their own hands, thinking specifically about Clawbones, not just tapping into the dark dimension.
Actually, I think the whole Gamma Crawl team would make a pretty good piece. The if you get all of our characters and then all of the cool NPC bosses we've faced so far all hanging out, that'd make a pretty good pretty good piece of art.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be curious to see what people actually think these things look like, because I have a very clear image in my head. It ain't what people see, though. I know it isn't.
What, Squaruto?
Yes, I see Squaruto. I see vape claws all the time. But yeah, mostly I just see like a slicked down garbage Yeti. Yeti.
You once described him as having the physique of Armstrong from Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, yeah, no, but he does. But he's also so sickly. so sickly. That started to take over my image of him in my head, especially as we do this every fucking time I pass out and die.
Yeah.
You very nearly died in the small amount of it that we managed to record today.
Oh my god, we were an hour in. Died. Yeah, I almost died already. Thank god.
But then
god
again, that makes
gone.
Sense. First level characters in that game are very fragile a lot of the time.
Fucking, I mean, I don't see you two falling at all.
Well, my character's not fragile in the slightest. He is a beef monster.
Same.
He came from Arby's.
People thought I would look like a beef monster based on my sexy ass voice.
But it turns out I'm more like an Arby's beef monster.
Yeah.
New Arby's beef monster.
A roast
just give
beef
up.
Monster.
If you were to put Cthulhu between two pieces of damp bread, that's what you want.
What rough beef monster slouches toward Bethlehem?
I'm actually way happier being described as Cthulhu between two pieces of wet bread than an actual description, an old fat man.
Yeah.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were.
We're just letting
Neil
it play
Young.
Out.
Yeah, yeah. Just keep going. No one's saving you.
I hate Neil Young. I'm sorry.
All right, next question. Which of the classic Universal monsters do you two think you could defeat in a fight?
Yeah, that comes from Tipyo.
Tipyo.
All the rest of these are going to be from the Discord.
Are we talking about Universal Studios, like Jaws?
Like Universal monsters like Frankenstein,
Wolfman,
Dracula, Wolfman,
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Okay.
Yeah, the
okay.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Why you got to bring her into this?
Because she's a classic Universal monster.
Is she?
You're a monster.
How am I wrong here? She stars in the sequel to Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Frankenstein 2, get down.
Mr. President.
Frankenstein 2, really stilted boning.
Frankenstein 2, the president's bodyguard.
Frankenstein 2, Dawn of the Day of the Dead by Dawn of the Day.
Frankenstein 2, Country Strong.
Classic Universal monsters. I feel like we could definitely take out the fucking Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah,
isn't that just
pretty,
a dude?
He's surprisingly harmless in the original Creature from the Black Lagoon movie.
Well, all he could do is like come up to the edge of water and like grab ladies and then drag them into the water.
Yeah.
Well, any water-based like old-style spooky man.
Oh, yeah.
Just stay away from the water.
Here's my plan, John.
Yeah, and then you
he'll die of starvation.
Yeah. We'll go to where there's a legend of the Creature from the Black Lagoon, and we'll just chlorinate that water.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also a very good plant.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, maybe just poison that thing he's
stuck
in.
I mean, it's in a lagoon.
Yeah, what's he going to do? A lagoon isn't even really an especially easily escapable body of water. We just net off the entrance to the ocean.
It's mostly mud, yeah.
Yeah, we just net off that one inlet to the ocean that exists, and then we just fucking chlorinate him out of there.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Or just start throwing microwaves and toasters and shit
in
there.
Please.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, what you need to do is you need to get a really big six-pack of soda. And just throw that ring in there, and it'll get caught up.
Oh, man, we got six of them.
It's also yeah, the only classic Universal Monsters where it's not like I'm invincible outside of a weakness. So like Wolfman, you got to have some silver, and Dracula, you got to do the stake through the heart or sunlight or whatever. But when it comes down to the creature from the Black Lagoon, it's just a scaly boy and you need to shoot him. It's fine. Well, I can shoot that guy.
You can just hit him with a bat or whatever. It's no big deal.
Yeah. And even Frankenstein, you're like, well, I shot him, but he's already dead. So who cares?
I mean, if we're
going to
grab
me,
if we do want to count Jaws in the group, I'm happy to take
Jaws.
Jaws
in there.
No, I'll just stay away from the ocean. There I win.
Yeah. But then you're not fighting him. You're not taking him on.
Oh, no. I'm fighting him. I'm fighting him by having drones fly over the ocean and chlorinating it.
I don't think you have access to drones, Jeff.
That is not a fight. It's a defeat in a fight.
Okay, fine. I challenge Jaws to a fight in a boxing ring. There's no water, though.
Nah, man.
No, there could be water. Just like an inch of it, though.
Yeah, like an inch of water.
Yeah, no, he'd kill you anyway.
Also, I'm not there and I have drones.
Then you're not fighting him.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Stop trying to loophole this shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Comes from Continuity Officer in the Discord. What traditional D&D class do you think represents the other host the best? So
oh,
we have to
be
choose
D&D.
For each other.
It's got to be D&D. That's because last time we did this, we really managed to rip into each other with some bullshit from random games.
Yeah. So D&D class, best one for Jeff. I mean, I'm probably going to go with just a straight up fighter.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice. Are you just saying that because I'm boring? What are you trying to get at here?
Pretty much. I'm saying that you are the class for my little brother.
Because you're a beef man.
You're just a beefsman, and that's all. You're just a slab of meat.
That's all you're here for, to look good.
This is fun.
It's just one of them Arby's meat mountains.
Oh, God.
That's my favorite character in Game of Thrones. It's the Arby's meat mountain.
Yeah, he's gonna fuck shit up in season 8.
All right, I'm gonna go with a traditional D&D class, the halfling. Going all the way back to Redbox D&D before they had classes to choose from, I'm gonna say John's just a fucking halfling.
He's so
that's
airy,
weird,
though.
Considering how goddamn tall I am.
I know you're a big tall halfling. Maybe you're a bull roarer, but whatever it is, you sure seem to like just staying home all the time. And
oh yeah, well I mean if you're just saying you're basically like a hobbit, then you're goddamn right.
That's correct. I'm just saying that you're basically a hobbit.
Yeah,
and that you spend all your time at home, and you're about half fighter and about half like wicked stealing joke thief.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Although I'm way more of a joke thief than you, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to call someone that.
It's you.
Yeah.
You stole that joke from me.
Knock, knock, knock. Hello, it's the joke police. You're both going to jail.
All right, now let's hear from Quinn and Brad. What do you think we are, D&D classes?
Oh, Jesus Christ, you two. I was ready to do Quinn.
I was ready to do Brad.
Okay, you do it.
You do it. Fuck, guys, you narcissistic assholes.
Kind of empty narcissism. You guys go ahead and rip into
each
other.
All right, now you two, tell me how great I am.
All right, now, Brad, you tell him how great he is, and Quinn, you go ahead and just look lasciviously at my dick.
Yeah. He's broken.
All right, you two, describe each other.
I mean, I was going to be, you know, sweet about it. If anyone knows Quinn from anything else, he strikes me as a classic bard because his goddamn golden voice, spitting magic, and singing non-goddamn stop. Yeah.
But not this.
Yeah.
Not this.
not like these.
Not like these. Yeah, the bard was the one I think everyone, of course, was supposed to hope for.
Well, yeah,
all
because
of us are entertainers.
Because we're all entertainer people, except for Brad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even
except
outside
for
of...
Brack.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
I didn't do it, I just
I
laughed.
Almost let that fly over my head because I'm so used to it.
They've beaten your spirits down.
I know, I'm fucking abused in here. But like growing up with Quinn, hey, by the way, I am Quinn's best friend. I don't want
to
brag, but I've grown up with him since I was
We've known each other
boy.
Since the sixth grade.
The dude would walk around singing fucking Rolo songs nonstop.
Oh, yeah. Rolo Tony Browntown.
All right.
Yeah, but he's the bard. He's 100% bardo.
And I was thinking about Brad and. There's elements of him that feel very roguey to me.
Very sexy.
He's roguish.
Yeah. Roguish.
Perhaps
rakish.
Rakish.
Ooh. Uh-oh. No, I don't like what this
Cadley.
Is going.
No, but, you know, you're somewhat adroit.
Jesus Christ.
I definitely wouldn't pin you for a fighter.
Nope.
But you
no
can
one
also,
would.
I could also maybe see you cross-classing with a wizard. You tend to do a lot of, like, reading, researching, that sort of stuff, when you get into it.
I love the picture you're painting of me as a sneaky little reader.
Yeah, you're a sneaky reader.
You're a sneaky reader.
I used to work in the shoes department, so obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Oh, guys, I love feet. So that, clearly wizard.
Right, yeah.
I see Brad as one of those people that took one level in every class in third edition just because they could, and it was a terrible idea, and now they're regretting it.
And now, because he loves feet, his class is Quentin Tarantino. The classic D&D class.
Make movies about.
And so, Brad is again the douchebag of the group.
No, Brad is great. And I love
him. No one agrees. Thank you, guys.
What? Brad is great. Well, okay, first of all, John's tying his shoe or something.
He dropped
it. And I was letting Quinn talk.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. Brad is great.
I take a beating, man.
Sure.
Although I've never met you in any capacity other than trying to record Gamma Crawl episodes.
Yeah.
So frankly, I just associate you with failure. It's not your fault.
It's not your failure.
Yeah,
it's
I associate
failure.
You with my own
it's
failure.
High effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
High failure.
So you're a shame wizard to Jeff.
Yeah.
Or a sorcerer with a shame bloodline.
All right. Next question. For Christ's sake, who is the most? This comes from Angry Artist on the Discord.
Hi,
and
Jess.
It's who is the most kissable character? Now they didn't specify
no like, just character
from anything. So the most kissable character from anything.
Elon Sleazebagano.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
The most kissable character?
Uh-huh.
Okay. If we're going to talk about Thrawn, then I'm going to throw my hat in seriously for Gunk Mudboat.
You know, I'm going to say that pseudo Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, with the huge cartoon shooty lips?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most kissable.
Oh, man!
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
That's the one.
Yeah.
The fake Jessica Rabbit. Now, and, you know, they made that fake Jessica Rabbit, and it was supposed to be like, ew, she's ugly. She's not Jessica Rabbit, but she's beautiful to me. And so she's the most kissable.
You are beautiful
in every single way.
Oh, this time we're helping him.
What?
Yeah, I'll join in on his bullshit. I'm not going to yes and you.
Oh, come on. We all let him go with that Neil Young thing.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not joining
in. We threw him to the fucking wolves.
I'm not joining in on fucking Neil Young. Jesus.
Because he sucks and I hate him.
I mean, Idris Elba, I love his voice and those lips. So, I mean, if we're going just strictly most kissable, that man.
Well, he's not a character. Give me a character of his.
Oh, you know what? I have no idea. Oh, you know what? Pentecost. No, no, no. Yeah, Pentecost or the bull from...
Heimdall?
the zoo movie?
Oh, Zootopia.
Zootopia.
Yeah.
God damn it, Brad. Whatever your furry bullshit
He's a big kissable water buffalo.
Yeah, I'm going to draw a line at that bull dude from Zootopia. Yeah.
So Brad's
give
most
me that
kissable
voice.
Character is the water buffalo from Zootopia.
Great. Good. And I went with Grand Admiral Thrawn, and I'm sticking with it.
Good. Great.
All right. Perfect. And then there's a second part to that question. The second part was, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Gentlemen, do you have Halloween plans?
That's not really a two-part question. That's just two different questions. But that's fine. No, I don't. My plan for Halloween this year is to be a 37-year-old fat bearded guy that everyone thinks is hot, apparently, based on my voice, sitting at home making a spooky pizza. That's my only plan.
That's basically what I do for like New Year's every year now is I've stopped giving a fuck about New Year's.
Oh, yeah.
And I just sit at home.
No, New Year's is literally a holiday for the young.
What are you supposed to do on New Year's?
Oh.
Go out till midnight?
Fuck that.
Yeah, you're supposed to go like, kiss someone.
It's so anticlimactic.
Last time I celebrated New Year's a couple years ago, I played the print and play of Noisy Person Cards and watched the Crocodile Dundee with my fiance and one friend.
Nice. The last time I did anything for reals for New Year's Eve was several years ago. I went to Vegas with my ex and then...
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and it was...
And I kissed her at midnight, and the
magic
was reborn, and now she's your wife.
And
did you get some of that gross ex sex?
No.
And
okay,
your name is
checking.
Albert Einstein.
and then
everyone stood up and clapped.
Was Thomas Edison.
Was she your ex at the time, and did you really kiss her?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So this was depressing.
Yes, it is a depressing story. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah. Okay, this is what I did for New Year's Eve last year. I ground up some frozen strawberries into a thick paste. And then I put those in a big bowl, and then I upturned a bottle of champagne and stuck it in there and just sort of let it glug out. And then we ate that shit with a fucking spoon. It was 8 p.m. We went to bed at 9:30.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I'm honestly trying to remember what I did for New Year's last year, and it was probably sit in my room and play Final Fantasy 15 because I was functionally homeless at the time and was just like, well, this is all I have. This room is what I have to my name.
Yeah.
I mean...
Okay, but Halloween.
Mine's not so depressing. Oh, yeah. What are we gonna do Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween
so,
costumes, at least. Even if you don't have plans, you have a costume.
I was going to be half of an Oreo. And I was going to be with my girlfriend, who was the other half of an Oreo. And then you could hug each other. And then you'd just be an Oreo. But those plans fell through.
How do you do that? Because there's three parts to the Oreo.
Well, you put a piece of cardboard on your back. All right, hey, and that's the cookie part, yeah, right?
I got a, okay. And you wear a white shirt. Question for you. You ever heard of a goddamn double stuffed Oreo?
Yeah.
You miserable piece of
like
shit.
The
only kind
of Oreo.
Being buried here. Why did those plans fall through?
Well, let me tell you. It was to go to a party that was for people that were either 20 years older than me or 15 years younger than me. I don't know anything about any of those people.
I can tell you a thing about being into parties that are consistently for people 15 years younger than you. It's called gaming podcasting.
Yeah, that's right. It's a young boys.
That's why you shit on me. You're just jealous of my youth.
Yeah, that's super true. I wouldn't have thought that was going to be the problem for me going into podcasting until I realized that every single other podcaster is fucking like 22.
Yeah, no.
You joined a young man's game.
Yeah.
I got to own some people real hard on Twitter with my young person game the other day. I dropped the hottest gif of all time and walked out.
Oh, fidget spinners. I know.
See, that's the thing, though, is I'm pretty hip with the youth of today. I can handle it. The only thing I can't do is stay up past 10.
Oh, me either. And yeah. I'm a young person. And I'm like, whoa, God. Whew, I got to be up at 5.
Quinn, you got anything for Halloween?
My plan is to dress up as a community health worker trying to... help get these homeless kids appointments, because that's what I'm doing with my Halloween night is going
to work.
Going to work.
Helping people. You fucker. What are you doing helping people?
I'm
on
helping
Halloween?
Homeless kids.
Nice. I'm probably going to go to a board game night at a game store, but I'm going to be dressing up as masculinity for Halloween this year.
What does that even mean?
I've got a shirt that says fragile on it, handle with care, and then underneath it a thing that says toxic, watch out.
For a second there I was trying to figure out if you're going to go to that cool like people that are down in North Park game night. And then I was like, "Oh wait, no, it's just a fucking Tuesday. You're just going to regular Tuesday night at the local place."
See, that costume though really bums me out because it's like one of those. It's really good.
Oh yeah,
but you need to explain it to me.
Oh yeah,
right. So
no, it's
everyone will look at it.
Someone's
what's
gonna
the
look at it and go,
"Fuck,
is that a costume? I don't get it." And then I'll be like, "No, you see, I'm masculinity." And then they'll be like, "Wait, hold on."
Walk me through steps one and two.
Yeah,
and
then, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to dress in one of those like tie-dye Nebula shirts with a stethoscope, and I'm just going to be universal healthcare. Guys.
That's terrible.
Oh. Do we want to do a best and worst of our Halloween costumes?
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah,
I mean,
best and worst
Sergeant
historical.
Hatred.
Yeah, you did a Sergeant Vatred and a Sergeant Hatred.
I think the Hatred one is probably better.
Yeah.
I even got like the army helmet and the little cut-off gloves and everything. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Worst Halloween costume is definitely the Scooby-Doo costume I had, where at the very last minute I went to like PetSmart, bought a blue collar and like put that on, and that was I had like a brown shirt and pants and a blue collar.
Hell yeah.
That's good shit, dude.
Oh yeah, that's that last minute Halloween costume is the good shit.
Okay, my best Halloween costume ever was definitely the MC Bat Commander.
Yeah, that was the same year I went as Hatred.
Yeah, although a few years later you went as Vatred, and we actually did a whole squad. We did a whole team of you were Vatred, I was Doc Venture. We had a whole bunch of other people with us who were various other characters.
Yeah,
but definitely, I really liked my MC Bat Commander from the Aquabats costume because you get that thing where the one person who recognizes you is like the happiest person in the world.
Yeah, when you have an obscure costume, one person knows who you are, and they're like, oh, shit!
Yeah, and I'm mostly discounting childhood costumes here, because I once did a spot-on, picture-perfect cartoon Egon that won a bunch of costume contests, and it was a lot of good times. Worst costume I ever did, when I was in senior year in high school, I went as a television, which meant basically that I had a giant box over me with a hole cut in the front and a bunch of like wigs and shit stapled to the side that I could tear off to like put on so I could change channels.
Wow.
And it was fucking annoying as hell. It was the worst costume. Yes. Because I couldn't get through doors and shit without turning sideways.
Good.
Welcome to my day-to-day life.
Also, a lot of people would like try and tackle me for some. I don't know what that was about. People were literally trying to climb up on top of this fucking cardboard box I was wearing. And I was like, guys, it's just a box. It will fall apart. I don't know why people felt like attacking the television they saw.
It's not a load-bearing cardboard box, guys.
I mean, it was bearing one huge load, and that was me.
It was the poop I took in it.
One big foamy load, guys.
I think we established a sort of frothy loads.
excuse me, continuity.
Oh, sorry. I believe it's scrummy loads.
Scrummy, frothy loads.
Tightly rolled.
Just glug it out. You can really see the swirl in there.
Yeah.
Best and worst?
So my best was a great costume I did that was a picture-perfect representation of Spaghetti, the Tim and Eric character.
Fuck you. No other response, just fuck you.
Yeah, and then my worst was in 8th grade, I went as Sasuke from Naruto.
Oh my god, you did!
You know what, when I was 20 years old, I went as Cypher from Final Fantasy VIII, so I feel your pain.
It wasn't
yeah,
that,
but like
fucking
nerds. I did like the half curse mark Sasuke. Like I dyed my hair black and I got marker and I like drew all these little marks on half of my body.
You know what it means to go as Cypher from Final Fantasy VIII? It means I had to find a gray trench coat, buy it for like $70, and then make it sleeveless.
Yep.
Wow.
So that's a thing I did once. And then I went to a fucking club. I was in an Aquabats show that night.
You were a different guy. What the hell?
Hmm?
What the hell was your life?
I was normal. I used to be a really skinny dude. It's just hard to believe.
Yeah, it's really
you
hard.
Sound
when you
sound so
look
outgoing
at his mask right
and like you're always at parties. Like, what the hell?
I still do those. I'm a nice extroverted guy. I don't know where you're picking up this impression.
Well,
that
it's
I'm
probably because you
it's
have
probably
no friends.
All of us are so.
Oh, that might be. That might be it.
Yeah,
I thought you only knew him.
Yeah, no,
I more or less only know. Well, the thing is, I had about a million friends, and they all moved away.
Oh, well, that's just again depressing. God,
old man.
This backstory.
Look at my life.
I don't want to be sad anymore, guys. I'm gonna move on.
All right. Next
Did Brad
question.
Do his best and worst?
I mean, if your people even, I mean, care. I was raised to believe you don't spend money on Halloween costumes. So my worst was definitely in middle school where I just smeared a bunch of like white stuff on my face, like white paint stuff.
Just any old white stuff.
And you came as Bukkake.
And yeah, I came as Bukkake. I spiked my hair up, and it was only the worst because at the end of the night, I got into a stranger's car without realizing it, and I was like, "What the fuck's all this trash doing in here?" At which point, I looked at the driver who scared the shit out of me and told me to get out of his car. And that
was also 8th grade, right?
Yeah, I think it was 8th grade.
That was the worst Halloween of my life.
It was not a good Halloween. My best being probably with Quinn in high school years. We just put a bunch of my friends' dresses on and then went out.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, trick-or-treated is way too old. Kids got a lot of bad looks.
Nice.
But that's the highlight of my Halloween life.
Casual drag.
Yeah. Every other year, I was just wearing my karate outfit from my karate days.
I was going to say, there was definitely a year where I wore a gi because I was doing karate anyway, and I'm like, what are you dressed up as? A karate man.
Yeah, I would smear some blood on my face and be like, dead karate guy. Yeah.
There was literally
sometimes karate people get killed every day. Did you know that every day a karate man dies?
Yeah.
One year back when I was all hot because I was a water polo player, I went as...
God, you were water... You must have been lean as shit.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture
This
sometime.
Is where the voice comes from.
Yeah. No, the voice has nothing to do. I'm just going to have a sexy voice no matter how fat I get. It's just lucky genetic lottery. As long as you don't get a look at
this
me.
This is my one chance to shit back on
no,
you.
No, it's fine. You go ahead. You hit. You hit hard. It's funny. The audience loves it.
You two shitting back and forth.
Look,
forever.
ladies, gentlemen who are into fellas, ladies who are into fellas, as long as you don't look at me or touch me, I'll be the best lay of your life. Because listen to this. Listen to this shit right here. Let me just lay this down. Yeah. All right, so moving on.
Yeah, wait. You know what you have to, if you get in with me?
Hold me.
Yeah, you get an old man if you lay down with me. Yeah. That's what it is.
Old man.
Yeah, just a bunch of Neil Young impressions.
Just
look at my dick.
It's a lot like Squidward.
Yeah, I've got a dick like Squidward, and it's a well-known thing about me.
Oh,
wait for my new Fire single to drop,
Dick like Squidward.
All right, we got to push through this, guys. We're going to go faster here.
All right, so next up, what piece of media, book, movie, TV show, whatever, is your guilty favorite? That's from Thrawn and On and On.
All right, so we're just going to go around the room real quick on this one.
Guilty favorite. What do you got?
Kesha.
Kesha, your guilty
Kesha.
Favorite.
Yeah,
all right.
That's pretty good. I like that. That's a good, honest response. Gotham, the TV show. I'm finding myself into it at the moment. I don't know why. It is fucking garbage.
It does
and
look like garbage, yeah.
I can't stop watching it. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. I'm afraid to start it then, yeah.
I mean, on that tip, I'm just going to go ahead and say, like, the Arrowverse in general is my guilty pleasure.
I was going to say, you have watched every episode of Smallville.
That's true. I've watched all 10 seasons of Smallville.
Oh, man, Smallville was good.
I watched all 12 seasons so far of Supernatural as well. So when I watch a bad show, I dedicate myself to that bad show.
The thing is, I know that's bad, though.
Dude, Smallville was god awful.
What's amazing to me is that there's like 300 episodes of fucking Smallville, which means that every single DC character ever is represented as just some high school student with a problem.
They brought Impulse into Smallville at some point.
Oh yeah, you had a full Justice League in Smallville. You had Green Arrow, you had Cyborg, you had Flash and Aquaman,
and the Hawks.
Team.
There was a Hawkman. Also, there was an episode with fucking Isis from the old like CNN show Isis.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Wow, they really jumped. That's where they jumped the shark. That's where Smallville.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably season like 7 out of 10 is when they got to that, because the last villain was Darkseid, but it was just like
some guy.
It was like a weird like poison or whatever that made you evil.
Ugh,
it was like, oh, if I X-ray vision you, you've got like an Omega symbol in you.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, it's the worst. Anyway, so that's me.
And then my guilty pleasure is probably the huge spate of shitty Naruto fighting games.
Ooh, there you go.
You played those.
Yeah.
For as long as I've known you, they've always been god awful.
I just recently bought the most recent one on a lark, and it's fun.
You're a man with a finite number of dollars, and you said to yourself, Naruto fighting game.
I'll admit, I'm actually a little excited about the new DBZ fighting game. That shit.
Oh, Dragon Ball FighterZ looks very good.
Yeah, it does. Normally, Dragon Ball fighting games are hot, salty poop.
I also played a lot of those Tenkaichi games.
All right, let's keep moving here. Here we go. What alternate universe, Jeff and John, would you most like to trade places with? It can be any form of alternate universe, but you have to be able to tell the difference. Thank you, Ginkgo Mortis from the Discord.
I would trade places with the universe where I'm rich. I would trade places with the universe where I don't have crippling depression.
I feel like that'd be the same universe. You're pretty talented otherwise.
Yeah, it'd be fine. It'd be great.
Let's see. I would trade places with a universe where I am young and I look like my voice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good.
I'm just sticking with it for the whole episode.
Yeah. I'll take either Jeff or John so long as it's the Spaghetti-verse.
The Spaghetti-verse?
No, not the Spaghetti-verse. The last thing I want is everyone creeping around trying to scare people.
I don't know. I am from Spaghetti. I have grease paint on my face for no reason that connects to the comedy.
Yep. I also don't like spaghetti, but Spaghetti-verse sounds right.
Good. Spaghetti-verse. I mean, at this point in my life, I'll take an alternate universe where I'm like together and have my life figured out. That'd be great.
The question is which alternate universe, Jeff and John?
Oh, the one where we have our fucking podcast figured out?
I'll take the universe where we get this fucking podcast done.
How about the one where we aren't just constantly ripping on you?
No, I mean, I've come to accept that. It would feel weird now if you were nice to me.
All right, next question from Seth Slimy Rollins. What's the best dipping sauce? And it's ranch.
Next question is, it's sweet and sour. Sweet and sour is my jam.
I feel like the fans out there who really follow my work are expecting me to say donkey sauce.
I think the fans from our work are expecting donkey sauce.
Hang on, is this an episode of Donkey Sauce?
Oh, fucking Honey Barbecue.
Honey Barbecue, good call. All right, okay.
All right, good.
Actually, I'm going to change mine. Mine is, because we just went to the Dumpling Inn last night, mine is when you make your own dumpling dipping sauce out of the ingredients they have on the table at the dumpling restaurant.
Right. And for me, not just pitching out to the people who link me associatively with Guy Fieri, I'm going to say, Thai peanut sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Is the fucking shit.
I think what we can all agree on is that Szechuan sauce is something you can just buy at fucking Vaughn's. And it's just sugared up teriyaki, and I don't fucking eat it, and we're good.
Uh-uh.
Ranch. It's ranch. Anyway.
All right, moving on.
You're all wrong. It's ranch.
It's ranch.
Ranch is gross. Like most white sauces, ranch is gross. What are some good ways to handle... Oh, wow, a real one. I don't know if I want to do this right now. A question from Lucid. What are some good ways to handle anxiety about GMing?
Do it.
GM,
I mean, from
people,
my experience, as someone who has had anxiety from GMing.
Look, if it's your first night GMing, you have to GM.
Yeah, I was going to say, do a one-shot first.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, dude, I've planned out this full campaign, I've got it like maps and NPCs and whatnot, and then it falls apart after your first session, you are never going to want to GM again.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I mean, as someone who grew up with Quinn GMing for me, where he was goddamn fantastic and set the bar very, very high, when I started doing it, just be prepared for everything, go out the window, and just start doing it. Like, it gets better as you do it more.
Right. That's the thing. If you can find supportive people to play with, like, probably if it's going to be your first time, don't fight a bunch of randos. Yeah. Like, if you have a supportive group,
yeah,
use them, and then prepare as much as you are comfortable with.
Yeah.
You are probably going to start by over-preparing, and that's fine. Just remember that it is the process of preparation and thinking about things that is important, and not necessarily what you have down. Because I feel like sometimes when you get anxious, or when I used to get very anxious in the GM seat, it's about trying to make sure things like kind of adhere to what,
yeah, you have a story,
quote unquote,
in mind,
should happen.
Yeah.
And if you can let go of that and kind of give into the process, it can be helpful.
Everyone has a lot more fun if you don't do that.
Right. But really, just like almost anything that has to do with anxiety, repeated exposure.
Mm-hmm. That does help a lot.
Yeah. And that was, I don't know if we mentioned that was from Lucid.
I did mention it was okay. From Lucid, yeah.
Lucid, I was terrified of doing this. Oh, what, 8 months ago when we started doing it? It's a lot better now.
Yeah.
It's not so scary.
You've realized that we're harmless schmoes.
And you can't get your shit together.
My shit was so together today. I'm so... Oh.
Look, it was tight, finely coiled.
Oh, man, it was so good.
Also, you've been to John's weird situation of a home every single time. You've never come to my perfectly functional house with, like, a kitchen and shit.
I know,
shit.
You keep saying this, like, you have a functional home and, like, a loving relationship over there. Bullshit. I don't see it. I don't.
You're killing me.
I slept on his couch once. His cat talked to me. I was also very drunk.
My girlfriend and I are anxiously and happily 4 months pregnant. It's just, everything's great. It's just that when I enter this house, I kind of, I take on a little bit of the garbage that is associated with it.
I love that you disassociate yourself from your, like, put together life by coming here to this garbage heap.
This is the perfect place for me.
Where most of the house is empty and the rest of it is all empty pizza boxes.
It is where I belong.
Next question comes from Coebwill. I don't know.
Nice.
If I this is the one that you idiots get from all of the ones that you ask.
You jerk.
If I sent you a DM and when you opened it, a hot dog came out of the USB port of the device with which you opened it, would you eat that hot dog?
All right, here's where I'm going to put in the hot dog questions theme song.
Hot, 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 hot dog. Ooh, fucking faked you out, you sons of bitches.
That's a pretty good one. I like that hot dog questions theme song. Moving forward, would you eat the hot dog if it came out of a USB port of the device you opened it with?
I mean, that's fucking magic, and so probably.
I mean, what else is it going to do? Is it going to make me, like, really big or really small?
Wizard hot dog.
Oh, it's going to make you really big. It's going to make you really, really big.
it's going to make you so fucking... At this point, I'm picturing the hot dog as something I got from clicking on a link on a porn site.
Right? This hot dog's going to make you so big, and your house is going to be an escrow. Yeah.
Doctors hate him.
Do you like to fuck older hot dogs?
This hot dog is in your neighborhood and ready to get eaten.
Oh, man, the amount of jokes we have ready on this is a direct indicator of how much time we spend on porn websites, isn't it?
I don't know what the fuck this is.
Try not to get off while eating this hot dog.
Can't do it.
Anime hot dogs. I'm only imagining this thing coming out having been shaved off by the USB port.
So you're just seeing a little USB.
So it's a little strip. And that's probably going to turn me off enough that I'm going to pass on that hot dog.
See, now I feel it's delivered out of the USB port and then rapidly expands, much like a Casper mattress. Folks, Casper. Have you considered purchasing a Casper mattress? It's a mattress that comes in a box the size of a mini fridge, which for some reason is apparently a thing people would want. Now, personally, I don't give a fuck how my mattress is delivered to me, because other than that one day when it's delivered, it's just a fucking slab in my room that I sleep on that's made of something softer than the floor would have been. But if you're the sort of person that for some reason gives a shit about your mattress expanding as if ghosts are flying into it, then consider the Casper mattress and just go to Casper's website, Casper.com, and use the promo code SystemMastery. Actually, don't, because it's not real, and just send us some money instead.com. Thank you, and have a good day.com.
Yeah, speaking of ghosts, let me tell you about Nature Box. It's a lovely box of curated snacks. It comes in a box the size of a mini refrigerator.
God, if that was true.
It's a curated box
of
ghosts.
Oh, no, it's a small basket of snacks that comes in a box the size of a mini refrigerator.
Yeah. We waste a lot of space on this.
It's a curated box of ghosts that will help you with legal advice.
Oh, good.
Copyright infringement.
Go to deadlawyer.com.
Legal hell? Boom.
What in God's name was the question? Oh, yeah, the hot dog
question. I would totally eat it because, yes, in my mind it comes out basically like a cartoon hot dog. Like it just kind of goes, and then it's like a full-size hot dog coming out of the USB port.
Okay, so are we seeing this thing coming out with buns? Because I was just imagining a nasty strip of meat.
I'm thinking what Quinn's thinking, where it's just flaccid and skinned, like, just like by the USB port itself.
Right, now I went full.
You get those grindy dot matrix printer sounds?
See, I'm picturing early 90s.
That squiggle of ketchup, the squiggle of mustard, full buns.
Oh, you have the perfect hot dog.
Perfect sine wave of ketchup on top. Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. You're kind of picturing them the same way I am, which is like a 90s scare movie about the internet.
Oh, yeah. And it's
someone's
like,
emailed me a hot dog.
You wouldn't download a hot dog, would you?
Oh, just you wait.
Cyberpunks with Romulan haircuts are downloading hot dogs right now.
Yeah. I mean,
they call it greasing the monkey.
Oh, you want to be careful, because if you're a Decker, that thing's just going to pop right out of your neck.
Yeah, that's where my USB port is, at the base of my spine. So, will I eat a hot dog that comes out of the base of my spine? Yeah, why not?
Obviously.
Of course.
I'm constantly extruding hot dogs.
Because the best dipping sauce is spinal fluid. Next question.
This one's for, I'll go ahead and read this one.
Extrude dog.
This one is for John and Jeff specifically, but I'll go ahead and extend it to other people who were interested. John, and anyone else who wants to answer it, what's your favorite foreign horror movie?
That would be Audition. It is a Japanese horror film, and it is fucking terrifying. The first half hour of it is basically like you're watching a Japanese rom-com,
mm-hmm.
and then it just goes bonkers nuts and is like really gross and creepy and disturbing. It's a really good film, but it's especially good with that juxtaposition. So Audition, Odishan, if you can find it in the original Japanese. Hey, every time you fucking talk about food, you sound like a big fart-smelling idiot, so I'll do it about horror films.
Food is delicious, you Mama Celeste swilling piss ant.
Let me tell you about my Keikaku.
Pugilism!
Anyone else got a favorite foreign horror movie?
I'm not a big horror guy myself, but if I do have a chance to just recommend a foreign film right now...
Yeah, go for it.
For the love of God, watch the Bollywood movie Singham.
Oh,
it's on Netflix.
Is that the one where they go off the rails and build like a mecca out of men and shit?
No.
Okay.
No, it is 2.5 hours about a small town cop fighting a corrupt official. And it is cuckoo bananas and so good.
It's over the top in all the best ways.
I've heard of it. I've watched it. It was really good. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's hilarious, but also surprisingly compelling. And is a personal point of exalted reference for me.
All right. Now, second half of the question was directly for me, but I guess if anyone else really wants to answer this one, they can. By the way, this question's from Dash Magnum. Jeff, I remember you saying the P-38, that's the P-38 Lightning, is your favorite airplane, but what's your favorite jet? It's going to be the XB-70 Valkyrie. It's basically like if you took a Concorde and liberally applied both brutalism and testicles, you'd end up with the XB-70, a giant... very sawed-off, squared-looking delta-wing airplane that could fly at like Mach 2 and carried nuclear bombs. And there were only two of them, and one of them got blown up because another jet did a cartwheel over it while it was flying. It is a fucking rad thing. It's out at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, the one survivor. Coolest-looking airplane you've ever seen. So that also, white as a fucking sheet. It's like a ghost. It's like a giant Mach 2, 80-foot-long, super-flying death ghost. Rad as hell.
And if anyway, you want that, go to Casper.com.
Casper.com. We guarantee your mattress is fucking haunted.
I would definitely say my favorite jet is the 777 Boeing.
The Dreamliner?
Yeah, it's great.
All right.
All right, cool.
Big fan?
Yeah, just a big fan of being in a plane.
Okay.
My favorite jet is Lee. Sleek. Fast.
Oh, I thought you were going to say is Lee.
Consummate martial artist.
Oh, okay.
All I got is Billy and the Jets. I don't have this weird specific...
You mean Billy Benny and the Jets? And the Jets?
I think it's Billy and the
Man,
Jets.
Don't,
I think if you look, you'll find out it's Billy.
Man, don't make any more references to anything from before 1988. No, listen, you're forbidden.
Listen. I think if you... Anyone at this goddamn table knew, it's Billy and the Jets.
I'm sorry, it's Billy and the Clubs.
We just looked it up. It turns out he's referring to an obscure meme where two dolphins try to open a door. Sorry, everybody. I guess it's a new funny thing from the new internet.
Turns out it's one of those porn ads.
Apparently, Billy and the Jets is a Pokemon?
Apparently, Billy and the Jets is the best porn.
It's porn, too.
It's porn 2.0. We only have one question left, and the last one is coming from Resident Ceiling Shark. Do you prefer generic systems that try to be one-size-fits-all or system-specific tailored to telling a specific thing in a specific setting?
Well, let's talk about this, because I think the question's really obvious. How does everyone feel about just fucking GURPS, just out-of-the-box by itself GURPS, just you're playing some fucking GURPS? How do you feel? It's garbage, right? It's boring garbage.
Well, yeah, but what about something like Fate, out-of-the-box, huh? That's a generic system.
You know what? I'll be honest. I can't fucking read that book. I've tried like 12 times. I've played Fate, and every time I'm like, I'm going to sit down and read this game and understand how to play. Oh, I'm bored.
It is pretty boring, and I would also argue that it's not actually one size fits all. It is designed to operate within a pretty confined set of genre conceits.
Yeah, it's also
particularly things that fall within the confines of pulp.
It's also one of the offshoots of it. It's not designed from the ground up to be one size fits all, because it's an offshoot of the Fudge system. Where GURPS is pretty much the one where it was like, all right, GURPS, from the beginning, this is some bullshit that you can use to play anything.
Yeah, except you really can't.
No.
No. I mean, again, if people know me from anywhere else, or people like ludonarrativity, like, that is my shtick. That is, like, my orientation in terms of...
sexuality.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a ludonarrative yeah.
By the way, John, I said croquembouche earlier, and you gave me all kinds of shit for it, but you're letting ludonarrative slide by like it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's
fine. Where I feel like I'm plugging my ass right now with a big tank that says Yale.
But I think that games function best when they are designed specifically to emulate genre, feel, or specific tones or modes of play, and you're going to get that a lot better if you have something that is specifically designed as opposed to generically designed.
Oh yeah, I really need that mouthfeel whenever I'm doing my RPGs.
Play experience is important, and aiming for genericism tends to fall flat in that domain.
Well, speaking only as someone whose job it is to read an RPG every 2 weeks, I have the hardest time reading them when there's no interesting story behind them.
Then you've just left with a miserable pile of mechanics instead of an actual story.
Yeah, and what is a man but a miserable pile of mechanics?
Yeah, just a bunch of small mechanics that come together Voltron style to form a man.
Yeah.
Now you break them apart and they'll fix your car.
Yeah.
But you put them together and they'll save the universe.
Got a real grease problem down here, my boy.
So I'm going to come out in favor of books that have stories.
Looks like back here it's real crusty and sugary.
Can you go ahead and describe for me the noise that your crusty sugar butt makes?
Oh no, but it's all frothy and foamy up here.
I just want to hear the noise. Can you give me the noise, please? Oh, jeez. Oh, okay.
That's your alternator.
So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to find your local mechanic, right? And you're going to tell him you need a new Cobbin filter. Now, he's going to try and tell you that it's going to cost like $1,800, and he's right. I'm sorry.
You boned. This has been Quad Talking.
Coming up next, a puzzler.
As the most casual person of the four people at this table who does not take this so seriously.
Yeah, fuck off. You're a 10 with a toned body. We get it. You don't have time for role-playing games.
See, as much as I love them, if I'm going to read one, I love the story. And like, I get like if someone loves mechanics or like really gets into the nitty-gritty of it, like something that's made to be kind of playable in all genres could be fun. But as someone who doesn't like just reading fucking you roll 2d12s to find out what your AC is, I love the story behind a lot of these games.
By the way, that is a rule in old D&D. You roll 2d12 to determine your AC. It's a well-documented. Go ahead and fight me on that if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Don't at me.
Don't.
It's Billy and the Jets, and you always roll 2d12 to determine AC.
2d12 in there. It was a famous song from Billy and the Jets. Roll 2d12 for AC.
It's one of the best of the Elton Dave songs. You've got you've got Candle in the Breeze.
No, I'm sorry. Billy and the Jets is the band.
Yeah, no. Billy and the Jets is the band.
Alligator Rock.
I would also say kind of like trying to argue that anything can be like quote-unquote apolitical.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually hard for something to not edge toward having some preferred mode of play that it espouses.
That is true.
That falls within the confines of certain genre expectations or conceits.
Why would you want something to just be like so center of the road? It sounds so bland and boring.
Ask John. He only eats bland, boring bullshit.
It's true. If you could just give me some white bread dunked in ranch, that would be amazing.
Oh, Jesus, I'm gonna throw up.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to go ahead.
I wonder
and,
your bowl is so fucking
that's all,
healthy.
I fucking love this kayfabe for me.
So that's all the questions we have today. So if you don't, basically, we're going to go out together singing, me and Brad here. So if you don't ride, Missile Dude, flaming out his gas up here, solitary.
Yeah.
Missile
Dude.
That's a great song. I'm a big
from
fan
Billy
of that
and
one.
From Billy and the Jets.
Yeah.
From Billy and the Jets.
Yeah, that's
hold me closer, little lady.
I'm happy to know you guys aren't rid of me yet. I'm coming back.
Count the brake lights on the freeway.
Why did I grow up in monkeys? I sing the scat songs freeform style.
Oh my god, did you just say Skeksis? I'm so into that. All right, folks, this has been Afterthought, which we haven't done in forever, so it's going to take me a while to dig up all the art assets and shit we need for this.
Yeah, who cares? Whatever.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you feel like supporting the podcast, swing on by patreon.com/systemmastery and kick us a dollar. It can help us generate more shows that break when we try to record them. That'll be great for everybody.
We'll definitely be doing more interesting experimental shows that shatter and then we go back to the well.
I do want to say, for those of you who are considering whether or not you should back the Patreon, you are now personally responsible for feeding a human child, so...
That is true. I did steal
a human child,
yeah,
so yes.
John is regressing backwards. He has Benjamin Button disease.
I am now a human child.
He's a small, beardy child.
Just crossed the threshold. He's now 17.
Young and sweet. And the dancing queen.
Oh, he's getting that figure back, though.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. Unlike me, where I used to be some sort of sculpted Adonis, John pretty much looks the same.
Nah, man. I think like after 10 years old, it all fell apart for me.
John was born and raised a potato.
When he started eating fucking white bread and ranch, it all kind of went downhill.
As soon as someone asked me what my preferred food was, it all went downhill from there. Up until then, I just got fed whatever.
You pretty much were raised on Minnesota hot dish.
Oh. Also, another great song from Billy and the Jets, Minnesota hot dish.
All right, so as always, swing on by, and like Quinn said, that's correct. I am my girlfriend and I are presently about 4 months pregnant and scared shitless, so if you go to the podcast or support us on the Patreon now, you are helping us support our impending tiny baby, the first cheese dude in the first baby cheese dude in the family, except for Everett, I guess. Everett also counts.
Kind of.
All right, so thanks so much for listening. That's patreon.com/systemmastery, where you can support our other podcasts like System Mastery, like Expounded Universe, like Movie Mastery, like Gambit Crawl, if we could just make one, that'd be so good.
I really hope it's as good next time.
Special thanks to our special guest, Quinn, from his mini fine podcast. Quinn, list a website or something.
Find me on Twitter at MONKIPIQUINN. That is Monkey Pie Quinn, or at swallowsofthesouth.com.
Those are the places where you can find Quinn. Brad, you got nothing going on, but thank you so much for coming. I'm not saying that in a mean way. I'm just saying that you probably won't have a website you want to link us to.
Where can they find you? You got like an OkCupid profile?
I'm on Tinder. I've been getting a lot of swipe rights.
I also don't know how Tinder works.
I actually don't. There was a point a while back. I was only using OkCupid, right? And there was a point a while back where OkCupid introduced the swipe left and right. They turned it into Tinder, but they didn't explain it. And so when I was like, I'll try it. I was like, I don't know which way to swipe. I'm left-handed, so I'll just swipe left for everybody because I think that's right for me. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing.
Probably swipe left because that's the more awkward one.
Right.
Like, that's the more awkward one.
Right is, I like them. Left is, I don't. And up is, I super like them.
No. Oh. It's lefty loosey, righty tighty.
I think you're talking about Grindr now.
Oh, well, right.
Yeah, Humpty Dumpty, Downsy Poundsy.
It's left if you think they're sinister, and then it's right if you think they're
conservative.
Conservative.
That's the two.
Oh, wait a minute. That's
right?
Both.
Sinister and conservative.
Now, what happens if you swipe starboard?
Well, that
the boat
depends.
Sinks. Yeah.
Well, that'll cause a starburst to pop out of the USB port of your nearest device.
Will you eat the starburst?
It's pink.
Oh, that's my favorite flavor.
God.
Actually, no, red's going to be my favorite.
Take a
everybody
pink
favorite
and
flavor
a red.
Of Starburst to go?
Pink.
I like pink, yeah.
I'm the smug asshole. Take a pink and a red and smush them together.
So I'm a big fan of red.
I mean, I will just indiscriminately eat handfuls of unwrapped
Starburst. Like, yeah, like the way you eat jelly beans. Just, you don't fucking care about individual flavors. Yeah.
Josette nags on, like, she gets on me about that. Like, she does not like that I'll eat Skittles by the handful.
In my like junior year in high school, I had a friend who was on the water polo team with me, and we had two classes back to back with each other.
Yeah, we get it. You were athletic.
I don't fuck out. It's not important. I just need an excuse for where Chad Smith, ASP president, fits into the right. store.
I was
story.
Eating all this food. It's dripping down my hot pecs and my ripped ass.
It was fucking Starburst. There was no dripping. No, here's the thing. This is a story about my good friend whose full name is Chad Smith, ASP president. Yeah, to say the whole thing every time.
Yeah.
He hated.
Also sexy as hell.
He was like an 8.
That's pretty fucking high.
But it was a water polo team. 8 was the new 3.
Oh, gotcha.
You
gotcha.
Could have a lot of nasty face boys on a water polo team.
Yeah, but we didn't. So moving forward, Chad Smith, ASP president, fucking hated yellow Starburst and wouldn't eat them. But he was crazy about every other Starburst and would literally offer money for some of your Starburst. Like during a thing. So there were two classes where we had back to back. And in one, I sat behind him. And the next one, he sat behind me. And one day I bought a pack of Starburst and meticulously opened it carefully in such a way that I could seal it closed again with glue stick and meticulously rewrapped all of them and then re-glued them shut. And then in the next class, I just offered him all of the Starburst in the pack that were not yellow. And they were all just full of yellow Starburst. And I think to this day, he's still mad at me about it because I've heard about it on like Facebook and shit.
He is in a mental institution now.
Yeah,
it's a little known fact that another depressing backstory.
He did kill his parents after that.
You broke that man.
I did. I ruined him.
He did become the Batman.
He was no longer the ASB president. He was the ASB anti-president.
The meticulous, sinister intent that went into rewrapping that fucking candy.
Starburst turns out is actually very satisfying to unwrap and then rewrap. There's something about the little paper cases that's
I don't think perfect. I've it's ever like heard origami. Those words spoken.
It's like
together.
Asmar.
Try it.
It's like Asmar.
It's like Asmar for your fingers.
And like we say at the end,
it's like Asmar for your fingers.
I was going to say, and like we say at the end of every afterthought, sucks to your Asmar.
System mastery. It's like fingers in your Asmar.
I forgot we were ending this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it goes on forever.
I like that we've started the end 3 times. He's just going to cut it at some point.
You know what? Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and you have a good week.
This is the pod that never ends.
Bonus content. Let's all make characters. Everyone grab a
bonus.
Book.
Bonus.
Ween.